Please turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We're going to be talking about a word that occurs in our New Testament called bondservants. And John chapter 8 is a verse that is a passage that is really helps us put this into perspective. Starting in verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." We talk about being in bondage, being enslaved. Jesus is speaking to men who claim they were never in bondage. If you notice verse 33, they say, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. That's kind of ironic, isn't it? How many years were the Israelites in bondage in Egypt? Over 400 years. And you know what? The ones who were there saying that were in the bondage of sin. You see that? Jesus talked about that. Being in bondage. Being a bond slave. Being a bond servant to sin. And then Jesus says, "I can make you free. I can make you free." That hopefully you will see the significance of the freedom of Jesus as we study this wonderful term, bondservant. And this idea of being in bondage is one who is bound to another. And here I've got a picture of some chains, but that's the idea. Bondservants of Christ. The first word we're going to look at is translated bondman or bondmaid in the Old King James. And if you notice, it's called doulos is the Greek word. In the bold type, in calling himself, however, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul intimates that he had been formerly a bondslave of Satan, and that having been bought by Christ, he was now a willing slave, bound to his new master. That's what it's all about, see? We're either a bondservant to sin, or we're a bondservant to Christ. This term has another feminine side to it, of this word, and it's frequently indicating subjection without the idea of bondage. It's used of natural conditions. It's frequently used in the four Gospels, and Jesus uses it often, metaphorically, of spiritual, moral, and ethical conditions. Servants of God. The perfect example being Christ himself. This term occurs 127 times in 119 verses in the New Testament. And as I said before, in the Old King James, it's translated bondman, bond, or servant. In the New King James, as we'll see, I'll be using the New King James Version with, there'll be also excerpts from the English Standard where it deviates in these verses. But in Matthew 20, verse 27, "And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave." That's the same term we're talking about, this bond slave, this servant. Matthew 25, 23, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.'" There's our same word there. In Luke 17, verse 10, "So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable.'" In the English Standard Version says, "Unworthy servants. We have done what was our duty to do." When we start thinking we're doing great things for the Lord, this is a good verse to remember. When we start getting a big head about things, this is a good verse to remember. John 8, 34, we just read. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave." English Standard Version says, "bondservant of sin." Those Jews that Jesus was talking to, they claimed they hadn't been in bondage to anyone. Do you see the irony? Sin had them wrapped around the axle. They were up to their eyeballs in sin. Acts chapter 2, verse 18, and on my men servants, English Standard Version, male bondservants, and on my maidservants, English Standard Version, female bondservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. This is in the great sermon in Acts chapter 2, the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, talking about the followers, the obedient followers of God, as being female and male bondservants. Acts 4:29, now Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Acts 16:17, the girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. They're the, in English Standard Version, bondservants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Wouldn't it be fantastic if people looked at us that way? Wouldn't it be fantastic if people looked at you and I and they said, these are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. That's what we should be striving for. You know, this idea of being a bondservant, people would say, well, that's really, being a bondslave is way down on the rung of success. You know what? Being a bondservant of Jesus Christ, you can't get any better. You can't get any better. And that's what Paul and those who were with him were looked at. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul called himself a bondservant of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul referred to himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Now Romans 6, verse 16, open up your Bibles and read with me this passage. And if you want to read up above, you can. But I think I'd like you to read Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 19 or verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Some translations, unto sanctification. So here's this idea of slavery. Jesus deals with slavery, or Paul is dealing with slavery with the Holy Spirit's help here. And he's talking about this idea that you're, that there's this idea of being a slave of sin or a slave of righteousness. You know where most people want to be in the world? They want to be right in the middle, don't they? They want to have one foot in the sin that they enjoy, and then they want to have one foot in the righteousness because they want to go to heaven. Is that what Paul says here? It's one or the other. Either the slave of sin or you're a slave of righteousness. And that's what's emphasized here. This idea of being an obedient bondservant, as the English Standard Version talks about, obedient bondservant. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23, you were bought at a price, do not become slaves of men. This idea of a slave of sin is really a synonym to being a slave of man. In this context, you were bought at a price. What price is Paul talking about? The price that we've prayed about and talked about and sung about already this morning. The price that Jesus paid for our souls. Jesus went to great lengths to make us free of the slavery of sin and man. Notice what Paul says, you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. This isn't talking about physical slavery. This is talking about the slavery of sin, the spiritual slavery that can condemn us forever. Galatians 4, verse 7, Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Here, Paul gives a glimpse of this transformation from becoming a slave to becoming a son. And when you're a son, you're an heir. You're an heir, in this case, of righteousness, of eternal life. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers. Notice the English Standard Version says, as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. What is Paul saying here? When we have masters that are unreasonable, when we have bosses that are unreasonable, when we have professors that are unreasonable, when we have any relationship in life where unreasonable, we're not to return that unreasonable evil back. What do we do? We're in sincerity of heart, with a pure heart, not with any evil intents, we submit to their will as we would to Jesus. Not as men pleasers, not as people pleasers, but because we're bondservants of Jesus. That's why we do it. That's why we do it. It's because we serve Jesus. We're bondservants of Jesus, doing the will of God from a heart. Is that easy sometimes? No. Sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes when you're treated in a bad way, I don't know about you, but when somebody falsely accuses me, that really hurts. It really hurts. And it's tempting to just land blast them back. But no, we're bondservants of Christ. We don't behave that way. We're not to behave that way. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. Notice here again this term, proudly spoken by Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. No, I'm not a reverend. I'm not the pastor. I'm not some big name preacher. No, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Philippians 2, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. This is speaking of Jesus. This is what he did for you, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. When you think about someone who is treated unfairly, and out of all the people who ever walked on this earth who would have a right to return and have an attitude of revenge, Jesus would be the one, wouldn't he? Jesus would be the one. And what does he do? He's hanging on the cross. He says, Father, forgive them. That's our example. We're to be like him. We're to be like him. Colossians verse 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Epaphras, he's talked about in a positive sense. He's a bondservant of Christ. That's a good thing. That's what we all need to be. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. And a servant, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, and a servant, or a bondservant, of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. Now there's another word that occurs in the New Testament that's related to this doulos. And it's doulo. And it has this, kind of a different slant on this whole idea. It's from the root word doulos. And as with the purchased slave, there were no limitations either in the kind or the time of service. So this idea that a slave could be purchased and his enslavement was unlimited. And that would be a really tough situation. But notice how this word is used to show us our relationship to Jesus and to God. As with the purchased slave, there were no limitations either in the kind or the time of service. So the life of the believer is to be lived in continuous obedience to God. Wow, that's beautiful. That's what it's all about. And this only occurs 11 times in 8 verses. And you can see it's translated different ways in the King James Version. Romans 6, verse 18. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And remember the definition here. I can get back to that. So the life of the believer is to be lived in continuous obedience to God. Okay, kind of keep that thought. And having been set free from sin, you became lifetime obedient slave to God. That's what it's all about. That's something to be honored. That's something to be our goal, brother. Romans 6:22, but now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. That's the end we all want to have, is everlasting life. You know what? We sometimes lose sight of it. Maybe this world becomes a little too good for us sometimes. Maybe we enjoy this world a little too much and we lose sight of the goal we want to have of being in heaven with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7:15, but if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage or enslaved in such cases, but God has called us to peace. 1 Corinthians 7:15 is talking about when a married spouse departs. Well, now you're not in that same relationship with them as far as having to provide for their needs on a daily basis. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all. Same word. Here Paul is saying he's a servant to all. So his being a bondservant to Christ, Paul takes that as becoming a servant to all, that I might win the more. Aaron talked about our goal is to be spreading the gospel. We're not a political organization. We're a spiritual organization. That's our goal. But notice how Paul, he talks about himself being a bondservant, and he takes that task as being a servant to all, that I might win the more. Titus 2, verse 3, the older women likewise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given, or not slaves, that same word, not given, to much wine, teachers of good things. You know, there's a lot of things that people can be given to or addicted to in this life. And you know what? This idea of having a sober-minded attitude is what's being talked about here. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves or bondservants of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought under bondage, into bondage, or enslaved. This is talking about false teachers who promise liberty, who promise all sorts of freedoms. But notice, they themselves are slaves of corruption. We need not heed men like that. We need not heed that type of attitude at all. And then we have a third word. A third word. Still related to the root doulos. Still related to that. And it's idea of it means with. It's something, it's a service with. That's in the Greek term. That's what it means. From vines, it's a servant, a fellow servant. It's used of a natural condition, but it's also used of servants of the same divine Lord and of angels. See, hired servant. And we'll see that in a second. It occurs 10 times in the New Testament. Let's look at some examples. Matthew 18, verse 28. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants. Okay, this is a servant. There's a servant. And then there's a fellow servant, one who you're working with together, who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. Obviously, that servant wasn't acting as a fellow servant should be. Colossians 1:7, as you also learned from Epaphras, okay, remember Epaphras?
He was that good bondservant talked about before. Well, now he's talking our dear fellow servant, our dear bondservant, our dear fellow bondservant, really, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant or fellow bondservant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. Revelation 6, verse 11. Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants or bondservants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. I kind of butchered that because there's a lot of added words to get the context. But here it's talking about those who are given a white robe, they should rest a little while longer, the sanctified and fellow servants and their brethren. In here, Revelation 19, verse 10, and Revelation 22, verse 9, here's a reference to the angels, which is really cool. And we'll read both of those. And I fell at his feet to worship him, for he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant, or your fellow bondservant, and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And then in Revelation 22, in verse 9, the scripture reads, then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant or fellow bondservant, and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. When you think about it, angels are bondservants of Christ. We don't think of it that way. Angels. And here, John is wanting to worship. He's not sure what to do, and he tries to worship twice an angel. And notice he gets rebuked. Don't do that. You don't do that. You worship God. Now, when it comes to our lives, many times people will read a book or they'll hear a lecture or they'll kind of start idolizing a man and start listening to a man even though he says things that are different than God. Guess what the angel would tell you? Don't do that. Don't do that. Worship God. Some really cool things we can learn from this study of being a bondservant of Christ. We've studied three related Greek words, and one refers to being a bondservant, a servant, or a slave. A second, slaves of righteousness, enslavement. And then a third, a fellow servant, a fellow bondservant. Really, all really cool words. Now let's make some application. The New Testament is clear. You're either a slave and bondservant of the world and Satan and sin, or you're a slave and bondservant of Jesus Christ. There isn't any in between. You're one or the other. And God has given us the freedom of choice. We have the freedom of choice. And a good question we need to look at our lives as Christians, those of us who are Christians, and ask a question, are we truly living as bondservants of Christ? Or are we really bondservants of the world? We all need to be able to answer that question, because as we learned before, being a bondservant of Christ is a lifelong commitment. It's a commitment that goes beyond any commitments in this world. And we as Christians, at one point, we declared we wanted to live that life. You know what? Satan uses all sorts of things around us to get us off track. Are we truly living as bondservants of Christ? Or are we really bondservants of the world? For those of you who may not be Christians this morning, I want us to read one more passage together. Galatians chapter 4. Actually, I want us all to read these together, but especially those who may not be a Christian. I'd like to share this passage. It really shows immeasurable blessings from being a child of God. Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we are children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. See, we all, every one of us, at one time, was a slave to sin. And if we're a slave, we can't be considered a son. If we can't be considered a son, then we can't be an heir with Christ. Think about the pleasures in this life that seem so appealing. The things that Satan wants us to do in this life that we know God doesn't want us to do, that can seem so appealing to us. But is it worth giving up our inheritance? Jesus died so we can all have this eternal inheritance. And that's what we need to keep focused on. Why not become a child of Christ today? Why not? Become a servant of Christ. A service, becoming a servant that gives you freedom of sins. A freedom the world can't give you. Freedom from sin and spiritual death. And freedom that will bring you the inheritance of heaven one day. One last point. Paul considered himself a bondservant of Christ. You know, his service didn't start until he was baptized. That's when he became a bondservant of Christ. That's when we become a bondservant of Christ. He considered himself a bondservant. We read that passage in Romans 1, verse 1, and another passage that said that too. But it started when he was baptized. And if you haven't been baptized, you want to become a bondservant of Christ. It's a servitude that will bring you more joy in this life than you can imagine, and will end up with the salvation of your soul forever. Now that's the bondservant I want to be. And I hope you're the same way. If we can help you now, please come forward while we stand and sing.